Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we would like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about training the mortal mind to serve spirit and training the physical body to serve spirit in order to walk reason through the open door of revelation. Listen as we discuss the stages in human development leading to freedom from the belief in material law. In this show, we will explore Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Welcome to The Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live under the protection of divine law. Swami, the title of today's show is Bringing Divine Treasure to the Heart. So why this particular title? What's inspired you?
Well, I was inspired to do this when reading Gilbert Carpenter's book, Mary Baker Eddy, Her Spiritual Precepts. In the book, I found this quote, and I'll read it. Adelaide Still, who was Mrs. Eddy's maid from 1907 on, writes, and now this is a quote inside the book, she told us that she found herself on the Mount of Revelation, where all was good. There was no evil in her consciousness, but she did not know how she got there. End of quote. I'll continue with Gilbert Carpenter. In order that the revelation should be proved practical in redeeming mankind, she had to come down from this mount and keep the way to prove it daily. Mrs. Eddy's first attainment of spirituality was as a, and this is in quotes, natural. As such, she had no expectation that she would find another, again in quotes, natural, to work with her. But when she put aside her natural sense of Christian Science and began to function exactly as did her students under the rules that had been revealed to her, she had every expectation that her own growth would be the growth of her students, at least to a very great degree. She felt that it was only as, again in quotes, natural, that she was leagues beyond them, and she was willing to put that all aside and start afresh. But to her disappointment, she did not find any students who understood and applied the revelation as she did. She went right ahead progressing, while they chemicalized over her forward steps. Mrs. Eddy was like one who inherits a great fortune and then voluntarily puts it aside to accumulate one through her own efforts. And that's the end of the quote. When I first met Christian Science through Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, my first impression was seeing the similarity between the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga and the divine science of the book. After closer inspection and more exposure to modern-day Christian Science, I came to the conclusion Christian Science starts from the top and then works down, whereas Kriya Yoga starts from the bottom and works up. In Kriya Yoga, we start with the physical body and the human concept of mind and then rebirth the body in spirit. This provides a much-needed foundation for the graduation from sense to soul. And when I found this by Gilbert Carpenter, I thought, wouldn't it be a good idea to lay out a little bit more of the methodology that we employ in order to get us to this place being suggested by the scriptures.
So to graduate from sense to soul, where do you suggest we start? How do we start that in Kriya Yoga?
Well, again, when you enlist Kriya Yoga, yoga is union with the divine. You start by rebirthing the mind-body complex in this other dimension of reality, in this other source of sustenance, in spirit. And that's not just a declaration. There's physics involved here. It's like attracts like. Just like the title says, bringing divine treasure to the heart. The heart being the seat of wisdom, but also recognizing the heart is the core of existence, and the primitive level of existence is instinct, appetite, preservation, survival. And everything's going to be contingent upon what you esteem as valuable. So here we have to develop a value system that is in accordance with universal order, with this developmental process. Scripture tells you to put God first. This idea of the omnipresent, invisible, intangible, divine principle is your number one need. It's your only need. But in order for you to realize that to be true, you have to be able to sacrifice the belief in a finite mortal sense of life. The Bible calls this putting off the old man, or as Jesus says, to be born again of spirit. Because your physical birth, you come in and you have instinct. We're driven by fear. We believe we're finite and mortal. We're vulnerable. And as long as we believe that, then we can't get beyond the limits of that sense of awareness.
Swami, so what you were just saying now, how does that correlate with the story that you read about Mary Baker Eddy?
Yeah, what we're really looking at here is this idea of methodology, the how-to, where she said she did not know how she got there. That's an important piece I had assumed should be in place. Now, what I have noticed in comparing the two different strategies, Kriya Yoga and Christian Science, like I said, Kriya Yoga starts from the bottom, whereas Christian Science starts from the top. I thought that was amazing, except for the simple fact, when you look around, you don't see the demonstration. I'm not trying to be critical, but I am trying to be honest about this. When I listen to Daily Lifts, I'm not listening to somebody who has a principle and a rule, and then they are demonstrating it scientifically. Typically, what you have is you have an outcome that somebody now assigns their reason why the outcome appeared was that they prayed or that they believe that God is all. Now, to me, that's not scientific. That's not what Mary Baker Eddy was doing or is suggesting. Christian Science is knowing the Christ. It is knowing spirit. Spirit is a demonstrable principle, and it testifies with deeds, not words. But when I first discovered Christian Science, I myself was in a condition. I was in a place where I couldn't walk, and so I was looking for, quote-unquote, a healing. I was looking for somebody who could lift me out of the belief that I was in this condition, and I was unable to find any, not just in Christian Science, but also in Infinite Way and every other healing modality that I sought after. I was not getting results, and when I did start reading Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, I thought I could have wrote the book because of the spiritual science that I was teaching. Now, rather than throwing the baby out with the bathwater, I kept studying and working with the information. And now I'm coming to this idea where we really have to bring divine treasure to the heart. which is just another way of saying what Mary Baker Eddy said, educating thought up to spiritual apprehension. But we also have to understand that it's a process. You don't just declare that I'm spiritual. You must rebirth your physical body in a completely different source of sustenance. When we come out of the womb, we look for food, mother, approval. That's instinct, appetite. Mary Baker Eddy tells you that's animal magnetism, the barrier, the false sense of existence. Now, without working with the physical body, and again, if you think about it, when Mary Baker Eddy was on the planet, lifestyle was different here. One of the things I look at is just something as simple as sugar. When she was on the planet, people ate sugar, but it wasn't in everything. I mean, today when you go to a supermarket, you're hard-pressed to find anything that doesn't have some form of refined sugar in it. Why? Because it's addictive. And you can't serve two masters. And if you don't educate your physical body to look for what it really does need, to desire the invisible, intangible omnipresence, your body has all the power of preservation and survival. And your mind may have vision, but it's feeble and weak. The idea in Kriya Yoga is to train the mind to serve spirit and then train the body to serve the mind with the symbol of spirit. When you take lame mind with vision and put it on the back of blind matter with power, now you can move forward. This is why we always say you can only walk reason through the open door of revelation. That you don't get there if you have not attained that level of consciousness where you're able to make conscious choices based on values that are in accordance with universal order, which requires us to develop a certain amount of human will and be able to develop in Kriya Yoga physiology, we would call that your sheath system. These psychological organs that enable you to throttle, regulate, and manage the energy that moves between the different bodies. Now, of course, it's all theory at this point. Once you start to enlist strategies, things like fasting, developing your ability to make choices about what you're going to eat or what you're going to say, that's an important capability to develop. Because the requirement here at some point is that you must stop thinking. And in stopping thinking, you're stopping the interference between the mental material world of energy and this invisible, intangible, omnipresent divine principle, which is everywhere always. But if you don't develop the sensitivity to be aware of it, then you will be blind to it.
You had just mentioned about human will, but shouldn't we be careful about that? Because we've been talking a lot about thy will versus my will.
Yeah, it's exactly why I keep saying only reason walks through the open door of revelation. If we're still at that entry level of consciousness, the larvae state, we're instinctual, we're reactive, we're emotional. We graduate from that and we become intelligent. We develop our mental functions, perception, reason, memory, intuition. This puts us in a vantage point where now you're able to make choices based on a value system other than that primal state of the fright-flight instinctual response. But like you say, that's not your landing point. You have to have a personal sense of self before you can surrender that to this higher spiritual self, the divine self. I'm sure there are plenty out there that will tell you you don't have to do this. But my experience has been, unless you do the preparatory work, your chances of having this happen become slim to none, especially when we just read what Mary Baker Eddy said. Yes, yeah, she was at this mount of revelation, but she didn't know how she got there. Now, we work with things like Jesus taking James, Peter, and John to the mountaintop, where Moses and Elijah appear. That's an important clue that you can plug into. Once you start to decipher it and you realize it's a symbolic language, they're talking in symbols, they're talking about an inner event, they're not talking about climbing a mountain. This is where the Kriya Yoga becomes very helpful.
We will pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, you just said Kriya Yoga is going to be very helpful in this process. Exactly how is that so?
Well, I think because of its methodology. When you analyze Kriya Yoga, it's a path of action, it's a path of knowledge, a path of devotion. The other thing that's very important to understand, it's employing strategies that are specifically designed to facilitate a process in development, where we go from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness. The idea that total consciousness is the goal of Kriya Yoga. And then the physics of spirituality, making shifts in consciousness and expanding the mind, opening the mind beyond the limits of personal sense, beyond the limits of a mental concept, into spiritual identity. And then also having an evidence procedure for that. What is it going to look like when I graduate from being instinctual, reactive, emotional, the dynamics of addictive, compulsive behavior, violence. Like we say in the title here, bringing divine treasure to the heart. What that means for me is educating a human being to understand what is valuable, what is important to human life. People that are controlled by substances, circumstances, situations, they respond as if they're going to die. If a smoker doesn't get a cigarette, if a drinker doesn't get a drink, their heart is racing, their hands are sweating, and they're responding as if a saber-toothed tiger just stepped into the room is going to devour them. This is all conditioning. This is a conditioned response. I remember growing up, the first time I took a sip of coffee and somebody said, you have to acquire a taste for it. And the first time I took a drag on a cigarette, I thought, ugh, and they said, you have to acquire a taste for it. Now, the idea of bringing divine treasure to the heart is really educating this blind body with power and this lame mind with vision. Educating it so we know what really is important to us. And then we have to internalize that as your image for validation. The physical body comes in with patterning. It's looking for food, mother, approval. Now we have to rebirth the body in this invisible, intangible omnipresence. It's not an easy catch. It's invisible. It's intangible. And the body is looking for something it can sink its teeth into for validation. So you have to take the small steps, educate the body to look for something, even though it's invisible, it's tangible, something like air. Now, I remember trying to tell people that air was my party. The availability of my next breath is directly associated with my peak experience feeling. And for somebody that is looking for something visible and tangible, they don't really comprehend that. But you can train your body to look for what it really does need and associate your peak experience feeling with that. It's all conditioning. But what you're doing is you're blazing a path, educating your thought up to spiritual apprehension. When you do this, you eliminate all your unnecessary dependencies and you internalize what is really needed. And now you are bringing divine treasure to the heart, the seed of wisdom, the core of existence. And you're also initiating a process. You're coming out of this finite mortal sense of self. You're realizing that your physical body is a seed and it must be buried in divine revelation in order to blossom as the Christ, the divine principle, comprehensive to human consciousness.
That's why we're always talking about our material world. Well, the body is actually part of that. So for us to grasp the idea that we need the body to move forward into another level of consciousness might be kind of hard for some of us to understand. How would you comment on that?
When we value personal sense, we are protective of the physical form, and we call this normal. But when we remain in the original state of consciousness, there's no growth. Growth must be initiated because we can survive and not grow at the sense level of consciousness, but we are under the government of material law, duality, a belief in two powers. We're hypnotized. And of course, the idea, the goal here of Kriya Yoga is liberation from this material law. In the Bible, where it says, know the truth and it makes you free. Now, yes, the truth is you are infinite spirit. You are the divine self functioning everywhere, always. But unless you are conscious of that, then you don't have the benefit of that revelation. And so, just like Mary Baker Eddy, she finds herself on the Mount of Revelation. But what is really needed is the way. And then, of course, yeah, you can say there is no way. Divine truth is the only reality. You don't make yourself spirit. You realize the truth. It is an awakening. But there are things that we can do to induce the God experience. And if you don't have the benefit of being in the presence of somebody who is at this level of consciousness, who can lift you out of the belief you're a finite mortal being, then you're going to have to climb Jacob's ladder, which is what basically Kriya Yoga gives you. It gives you the ability to take the small steps, to employ strategies, and to follow a tried and true system that will bring you to the Mount of Revelation, to the realization, I am everywhere always.
So is there a way that we can combine Christian Science and Kriya Yoga for this process that we need?
Yeah, that's exactly what I've been doing. Is I really like the concept of starting from the top, having the divine principle, knowing the truth. Without it, the Kriya Yoga really becomes powerless. But at the same time, you can employ the evidence procedure we use in Kriya Yoga, using your physical body to help you get some clues as to what you are conscious of. So we start with the physical body and the human concept of mind, and then we rebirth the body in spirit. This provides a much needed foundation for the graduation from sense to soul, where we stop thinking and we start knowing. As long as you know the truth, as long as you believe in the invisible, intangible, omnipresence, you have the principle. Now, the only way that you can apply that principle is in identity, in spiritual identity. You can't do it with the mind you're using to get you through this lifetime. So you must stop forming thoughts and opinions, which is creating the interference pattern preventing you from demonstrating the divine law, and you make your mind aware for the invisible, intangible omnipresence, and in that silence and in that stillness, you watch, you wait, you listen, and you let divine truth reveal itself to you. And the support of the physical body as an essential component in transcending duality, that symbolism is found with Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the colt of an ass, or Lao Tzu riding a bull. We must master the mind-body complex before we walk reason through this open door of revelation. Otherwise, you will not have the divine treasure in the heart, in your seat of wisdom. You will not have the birth of Christ in consciousness. You won't have the interface which makes the divine creation the only reality which is functioning everywhere, always comprehensive to you. And this is, again, all part of this process. We graduate from a belief in the divine truth, then becomes faith, where that belief is starting to externalize and reveal itself in your experiences, and then you finally graduate to understanding, where you can demonstrate divine law with scientific certainty. You are now that place where the divine creation reveals itself through you as you.
So I've heard you say several times, nature is determined by the sum of the habits. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, bad habits set up limitations. It doesn't matter what you do, whether you're involved in athletics, if you play a musical instrument, or in business. If you have a bad habit, it limits you, and it sets up that limitation that you will not advance beyond until you correct the habit. Well, living is the exact same thing. The idea of love God as the key to life becomes clear when you understand what it really means to desire the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence, keeping in mind the simple fact we can't serve two masters, and what that looks like when we observe it correctly. The idea of one power, one being, without opposite. To understand yourself in the way that you are known by the Creator, which is spirit, whole, complete, fulfilled, everywhere, always.
That completes our show for today. Listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages, you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can press to further your understandings. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and live under the protection of divine law. Namaste.
Thanks for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga realization. Namaste.